Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, you know, I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank Sergio and Jake. Thank you guys for being sponsors of the podcast. I also want to send a shout out and thank everybody that's, you know, out there in the front lines, you know, doctors, nurses, truck drivers, you know, the kitchen workers at the schools, people who are stocking at supermarkets, you know, the employees at, you know, the cashiers and registers at the supermarket, the pharmacists, everybody working in pharmacies, you know, making sure that we have our medication, you know, all those teachers and staff that are, you know, still out there trying to, you know, making sure that our kids are learning and staying safe. Also want to remind everybody to, you know, shop local. You know, right now our local businesses, you know, need our help. You know, those are probably some of the people that are being most affected with this, you know, situation we're in. So, you know, make sure you go online and or give them a call, see if they're doing, you know, pickups or, you know, deliveries for food or, you know, anything that you might need. But yeah, you know, let's, you know, we're going to get through this, and, you know, as long as we stay together and, you know, help each other out. Today's guest is an amazing teacher from Central High School. She's a Stanford graduate. She was a CCTC teacher representative in 2014. In 2009, she became the National Board Certificated Teacher and member of the Board of Directors for Professional Teaching and Standards. 2007, she was named Teacher of the Year by the Association for School Administrators. 2015, she received Las Primeras Award, which is an award given by Latina leaders from MANA. And those are just a few of her accomplishments. Thank you, Mrs. Aide Rodriguez, for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I said your name right, Aide, right?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, is it in English or Spanish? But then I saw your bio on your Stanford, the Stanford website, alumni website, and as they, you know how they put how to pronounce the name?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, it's Heidi. I was like always saying it in English, Heidi. Or
well, and people call me Heidi because the name is actually a French. Heidi is how it's pronounced in French, and that was the original spelling of the name. But no, in Spanish, I'm Aide. And, you know, if people call me Heidi, that's fine. I respond to that, but I respond doubly to Aide.
Aide. So is there anything else that I left off that you would like to touch about your, you know, a little bit about yourself?
No, that was very complete, and I'm very humbled. Thank you. And I'd also like to echo what you said, you know, about the gratitude for all of the people who are keeping our community together right now. You know, you mentioned the first responders, the doctors, nurses, and people who are on the front lines, the people at the grocery stores, you know, and the people who are bringing the food to the grocery stores, delivering it, and in the fields, bringing our fresh produce and fruits. And I'd like to give a special recognition to the staff at my district, you know, who I see pictures of them as they're handing out, our principal and vice principal handing out Chromebooks to the students who don't have them, and making sure that our students are fed and nourished. And I feel so, my heart swells with joy when I see everybody that's putting themselves out there to keep things together for us during this time.
Yeah. It's you know, both of us work in the education field. I'm a computer technician for Calexico High School. And yeah, we've been, you know, making sure that us as techs, we were out there, you know, cleaning the devices and, you know, getting them ready for handout. And I know our administrators were there and are still there handing out equipment for those who still need it. So yeah, it's really important that, you know, kids have a way to communicate with, you know, the teachers. And one of the main reasons why, you know, I'm going to try and do a bunch of, you know, interviews like this one today, where I talk to local teachers who are, you know, kind of, you know, dealing with this new situation we're in, you know, this whole distance learning, show kids, students and parents that, you know, the teachers are there if they need them. You know, I know that here at our district, we have, you know, our nurses available, we have our counselors available. And I just wanted to make sure that people know that, you know, you guys are working hard, you know, everybody's working hard to make sure that, you know, this distance learning you know, really helps everybody out, and we don't fall behind. And you know, because something that we don't see is that, you know, for a lot of kids, school is a safe haven, and you know, and not having it there, it's kind of hard. So you know, just want to make sure that they know that there's somebody there if they need the help.
Absolutely.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, how are you dealing? I know you're a really passionate teacher. You know, you have a good connection and relationship with your students. How are you dealing with, you know, the fact that you're not in the classroom, you're not with them physically?
It is very, very hard for me. It's hard for me because one of the, you know, I think when your purpose in life is not just teaching the material, not just teaching the content, but working day to day with the students, you know, and being able to stay after school and just listen to them about whatever's going on, which as adults, it may not seem like a big thing to us, but to them, it could be at that moment the biggest thing that's ever going to happen. And I really miss that. I miss that tremendously. I miss seeing the kids in the morning, that environment of the school, watching them interact with each other the way adolescents do, the smiles that they bring me, the humor, even when they roll their eyes, you know, is that's kind of in their job description.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they do, that's part of what keeps me going. And so it's, even though I know that they're there and they know that I'm here, it's incredibly hard to be distanced from them. Mm. It hurts.
Yeah. You mentioned before we started recording, you were mentioning my, you know, toys in the back. And I in my office have, you know, a couple of toys that I've taken to my office. And that's one of the things that I, you know, miss, that I, you know, go to my desk, you know, start doing my job. And, you know, I see these figures that kind of like take me back to when I was a kid and stuff like that. What are some of the things that you miss from, you know, actually being in your classroom?
Physically being in my classroom, I miss the energy, because my classroom has a life of its own. And, you know, it's a very colorful place. There's a lot of natural light that comes in through my classroom. But it's the students who give it that energy. And, you know, and thinking about, there's some things that are in my classroom that I'd like to go pick up that I need, you know, for the work that I'm doing here. But it fills me with dread to actually walk into my classroom because of that lack of energy, like knowing that the students haven't been there.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me really sad. Just imagining that emptiness. You know, and I have, like you, I have a lot of, I don't know if they're toys necessarily, but a lot of little knickknacks. Somehow in my life, a student gave me a duck once, a rubber duck. And then I became a person who collects rubber ducks. So students have given me all of these rubber ducks that are behind me on the window ledge. And, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, the little ducks are there, but they all have a story. They all, you know, like a student who was like, Ms. Rodriguez, I'm too old for these ducks now. So I know that you collect ducks, so I'm going to give you my ducks. Well, okay. But I'm not really a duck collector, but I guess I am now.
Yeah. They made you a duck collector without even knowing.
Yeah. You know, and I have all these notes, all of these notes that students have written me throughout the years. You know, whether it's like a thank you note or a card or a birthday card or what have you. And that's something that, it's part of that life that's in my room.
Yeah. 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 To me, you know, just that routine of, you know, coming in to work, you know, putting my backpack down, logging in, and, you know, just that routine of, I mean, it's so crazy that, you know, people make fun of like, oh, what day is it today? But, you know, in reality, you know, it's been so long now that, you know, it's happened to me where I'm like, what day is it today?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, and I think about that, the last moment that I was there in my classroom, I never thought that I wasn't going to go back. like, I mean, I will be back eventually, we'll be back. But I didn't think, you know, so I don't even know, like, if I left that thing on my desk that I thought, oh, I'm going to come back and get this tomorrow in the morning. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, we never thought this was going to happen. But now that, you know, we've gone, you know, so many weeks into it now, did you work out a plan on how to continue teaching your students or, you know, being in touch with them?
Well, so all of my students were already in Google Classrooms that I had created. I don't have a lot of access to technology when I'm on campus. And so, you know, we have a few like little mini iPads in my classroom that my journalism students use for their newscasts. So I wasn't really assigning work in Google Classroom. Like they had turned in a few assignments, right? Mm-hmm. It was something that was just there in the background. I also have a few of my classes on Remind. And so that was a way of communicating. Now I got pulled out of work a day early because I lost my spleen when I had a car accident a few years back. And so I'm immunocompromised. So the doctor told me when this pandemic started breaking out, he said, I need to pull you off of work. You can't be out, right? So like I've literally been isolated since then. I haven't been out in public. And so anticipating that our school was going to close, I made sure to tell the sub to have every student, all of the new students who had added, to join our Google Classroom, to join Remind. That way we'd have a way of communicating. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we got the news, I started sending my students messages and connecting with them. With some students, it was a little more difficult to get a response right away in Google Classroom. So I made sure that I found alternate ways to communicate with them, either via email or text. And then we had a grace period of a week with our school to start getting everything going. And because my classes, you know, I teach AVID journalism and Success 101, but journalism and AVID are elective classes. So there's a little more freedom with the curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as we're working on standards, if they're writing and reading and organizing, we can do some different things. So what I chose to do during that time is to make sure that they were processing, you know, all of what is happening right now, that I was giving them a chance to process it, to get used to this new learning platform that we have, and just making sure that I connected with every student every day to see how they were doing, right? So, you know, even though our kids spend a lot of time with technology, they're not necessarily tech savvy in an online learning environment. And that's been part of the bridge that we've had to cross, right? Is to let them transition. But one of the things that I have found is, you know, we're creating learning opportunities for them that are, I believe, you know, from my meetings that I have with my colleagues, especially my AVID colleagues, learning opportunities that will really help them grow and mm-hmm. learn about the world and themselves as they're going through this process. But I'm also finding that we're also trying to help them get a little organized too, hopefully, because, you know, when students had a routine that was all laid out for them at school, they didn't really have to think much about it, right? Like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to my first period class. I'm going to go to my second period class. And now what's happening with a lot of my students is what happens to people when they first go off to college. They have a lot of free time that they don't, I mean, it's not really free time, but they think they've got free time. And so they're like, oh, I'm going to do that later. I'm going to do that later.
Yeah.
And I receive a lot of responses to assignments at like 1 or 2 in the morning from students, right? So it's, I think that there's been a little bit of a trying to help them organize their time, for them to create their own structure, which is, I mean, these are great lessons for us when we go back to the regular school day, right? To make sure that we're helping students organize their own time. Yeah. That this is, and that's something that we do in Avid. They have their agendas. They have their, this is what I need to do, right? And we're very conscientious about them organizing their time. But even so, some of the Avid students have told me that this has really thrown them off. And you know what I think we need a lot of, Jose, is just to be very patient and graceful in the way we all deal with ourselves and with the students during this transition. The last thing we want to do is add more pressure to the pressure that they already have at home with parents who may be losing their jobs, or maybe have lost their jobs, or family members who are sick, and students who are just generally scared. I had a girl tell me that she's really scared for all of the old people that she loves in her life, that they're going to get sick, you know? And I mean, I can relate to that fear. And I told her, I said, yeah, you know what? I'm worried about a lot of the older, and I said older people that I told her, and she laughed. And I said, you know, I'm over 53. I can't say old people anymore. So anyway, but you know, it's really important for me that they know that I'm here for them. Mm-hmm. You know, the connection, the computer connection is great. Have them do their work, have them be enriched, have them make sure that they all have access to the opportunities that we're providing. But to make them want to look forward to come to school when we're back in, you know, the brick and mortar setting, and that they're ready to learn, and that they feel that they trust us. That's my most important objective throughout all.
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but it's time to pay some bills. So here's a word from one of our sponsors. All right, so now back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
Love this.
Have you made contact with all of your students? Like for?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. And the ones who didn't respond through Google Classroom, which was a small percentage, I figured out how to get a hold of them. And, you know, it just so happened that like my, some of my journalism students, actually all of them from first semester, they all have my cell phone number and I have theirs, because that's how they would send their videos to me. Mm. And so, you know, I've been in contact with all of them via text and have been able to facilitate, you know, some students who teachers weren't able to connect with them. They asked the counselors didn't have numbers for them, but I happen to have their contact information. And so, you know, it's just, we're all relying on each other right now at our school to make sure that our students don't fall through the cracks.
Yeah. Have any parents reached out to you?
I've had a few parents reach out, but it's mostly been actually related to the Avid field trip that we're going to be doing. Not necessarily in our classes. One of the things that we were able to put together that when we first started going online was a video from a lot of the teachers and a lot of the staff at Central telling the students that we missed them. And, you know, that we were there for them and that we were planning their learning and we were going to do the best we could, and sent it out to all of our community. And I've received a lot of thank you messages from parents regarding the video. But otherwise, academically, not so much. The Avid trip and that video have prompted a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm.
Parents. Yeah, I know that here in Calexico, they've been doing like little caravans where they drive around, you know, the community, mm-hmm. And then videos as well. For those that, you know, have a little bit more of a bigger community to kind of reach out to, they just make videos instead of doing the caravan.
Right.
Knowing that next year we're going to, you know, have kids that missed, you know, couple of months of school, how do you think we should, you know, address, especially in the, you know, like elementary, you know, grades, how should teachers address, you know, how are they going to, what's some of the, I don't know, like it, just to me as a parent thinking of, you know, my son missed so many months of school, he's going into sixth grade. How is it going to impact him, or how are teachers going to address that, you know, coming into the next year?
So one of the things, you know, ideally, students have an opportunity to read at home and keep their mind intellectually challenged at home, right? That's the ideal situation. Is that the reality? Maybe not, right? Because not all parents have the time, especially if they're out there on the front lines right now as essential workers. I have the time to sit down and you know, encourage that type of learning. So that's what we're doing as teachers, is keeping our students' brains curious and, you know, operating so that when they come back in the fall, they may have a few gaps in the knowledge that they should have gotten. But if we've developed some habits of mind, whether it's inquiry, curiosity, persistence, right? If they come in with those habits of mind, they'll be ready to learn. And then as teachers, you know, that's where we have to be diagnosticians and make sure that we are able to precisely, which is a habit of mind, by the way, precision, that we're able to precisely identify the gaps. You know, like this child has a few gaps in math that we really need to work on. And it'll be incumbent on all of us to make sure that if kids do have gaps, that, you know, we have after school tutoring that, you know, and I don't have any doubt either that our State Department of Education, our governor, are very aware of this and the potential ramifications of the school closures, and that they will adopt a lot of plans and probably, you know, with as funds permit, we'll make sure that there are funds available so that the students get what they need. But, you know, one of the things that I'm finding, a lot of my students are telling me how much they appreciate school now. How much they like, gosh, I didn't, you know, I didn't, it's like a relationship, right? I didn't know what I had until it was gone.
Exactly.
And so they're really starting to appreciate learning and school. So my hope is that the majority will come back with that attitude of like, yeah, this really is a privilege. This really is something that I'm going to take advantage of, that I'm here. Mm. You know, one, and two, if we all, you know, I mean, and there are teachers doing different things, very creative ways of reaching the kids. But if we're all connected to them in a way that they don't give up on themselves, and they don't go, this is, you know, like, this is too much work. Right. Because that there's that problem, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's too much work and they just quit on themselves. It has to be a balance to make the kids really, really want to look forward to seeing us in the fall. And if that attitude is there, you know, we'll take it from there and make sure that they have what they missed.
Yeah. And you made a good point earlier, too, that, you know, it's making them more organized, especially those, you know, high school students that are getting ready to leave. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, like, not having that person, you know, every day telling you, hey, this is due tomorrow, or, mm-hmm. or, you know, this is due to next month or whatever. You know, when you're doing it at home on your own, that, you know, you could easily tell your parents, oh, yeah, you know, we don't have any work, or, but you know that you have to turn it in. It makes them more responsible. You know, they're able to, you know, know how to manage time and be more, because, I mean, when you go to college or university, you know, you don't have, you know, they have three times more students, and they're not going to be on top of you. That's what I told my son when he graduated, is like, you know, if you think that, you know, high school is easy because it was because you have somebody that's helping you out. You have counselors, you have that are checking your grades. You have teachers, you know, pushing you to do all this stuff. You know, when you go off to college, it's not like that. It's, you know, you're on your own. You know, you have to, you know, be more
proactive.
Yeah. So hopefully this, you know, it's, you know, we're, we gotta see the positive and, you know, in all these things that are going on right now. And that's something that, you know, not only are they gonna, are they missing school, but, you know, missing being in school, but at the same time, they're, you know, learning how to be more, more organized and proactive, like you said.
Yes, absolutely.
If there's any students, any of your students or students in general, you know, watching or listening to this, you know, what would you like to tell them or, you know, have them hear from you? Like,
wow. You know, what I've told them already is that I understand what they're going through, and it's I can't put into words the feeling of powerlessness that I have to not be able to just make everything okay, especially for my seniors, because it breaks my heart that they have worked so hard and, you know, that they have all of these things that they were looking forward to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's no fault of anybody's. It's, you know, this is something that took us all by storm. And, but it's still painful to know that one, personally, that I won't spend my last days of high school with them in the classroom and, you know, send them off the way I like to send them off, in the gym at graduation. You know, I hope that, and I'm pretty sure that we'll try to plan something for them when time is right. But that ultimately their well-being, all of my students and all of the students out there, their well-being and their happiness is the most important thing to us. You know, and we want to do anything that we can to make sure that under these circumstances, they're successful. And that when we're back to normal, that they have all of these things to look forward to. That's super important to me, that they know that this isn't the end, right? That it's just, you know, everything's just on hold right now. And that we still have a lot of things to look forward to after this passes. And it'll pass. Yeah. I know it will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's, yeah, me and my wife were talking about that, you know, like, because we have a lot of friends that, you know, have kids that are seniors. And, you know, it's just, you know, the things that they're going to unfortunately miss. It's you know, yeah, it's hard. And but yeah, like you said, it's, that's just a step to something bigger that, you know, they're going to be, you know, living and facing when they go to a university or a college or work or the service, or, you know, it's something that that won't compare to the new adventures they're going to face out in the real world.
Exactly. Yes.
Is there anything else that you would, you know, like to add before we,
you know, just how grateful I am that you reached out to me. Thank you so much. And, to my colleagues, I'm just so lucky that, we're in this together, because I have a tremendous group of colleagues that have been, you know, especially our AVID team at Central, who have been such a, bright light in this darkness for me. You know, and we get together in electronically every day and are able to be supportive of each other. And I really appreciate that. Additionally, I'm really grateful to live in California too, where, people in California have taken, you know, the sheltering in place very seriously. Mm-hmm. Our governor has done a great job, Gavin Newsom, of leading us through this and acquiring resources, and being compassionate and empathetic about what people are going through. And so that fills me with hope, you know, during these times. And that's what we need to do, is find those things that fill us with hope, when it just, you know, when everything just seems so bleak. And I'm a news junkie, but one of the things that I've done in the last week is that I've really, I only read the news once a day.
Yeah, I've been doing the same thing.
Yeah, because it's just so scandalous, you know, and I pay attention to Governor Newsom's briefings. Because, again, you know, that's something that really offers a lot of hope to me. And other than that, you know, I'm keeping it positive as much as possible and focusing on my students.
Yeah. 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 That's, you made a good point. And that's something that I've been doing probably like the last 5 days where, you know, I'll go in there maybe once a day, two at the most. Because, and I've been telling my family the same thing, is like, you know, if you read something on Facebook or the internet, take it with a grain of salt, because or if you're going to read it and kind of believe it, do some research, you know, because somebody posted something on our group and I was like, it was something like really crazy. And I was like, I just Googled the one of the words that was in the article and I was like, here, it's not real. You know, just make sure that you don't panic yourself and don't spread panic, you know, with, you know, news that aren't real, because, you know, that's the last thing we need right now, you know, panic, people panicking and, you know, reading fake news and stuff like that.
Exactly. But
yeah, just, you know, I've been doing that a lot, and I'm like you, like I would be on the news like 24/7. And now it's like, I'm just focusing on other things that are distracting me or making me laugh, or because it's too much. And it's the same thing over and over, and it's like, you know, we already know what's going on and we don't need to hear it. As long as I hear it one time, that's it.
And you know, another thing, Jose, is I've really learned a lot from Governor Newsom in the way he's modeled unity. You know, he's really, you know, his approach of not blaming anyone, not attacking anyone. And I think that's a wonderful model for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, because that being that way helps to get to solutions faster, which he's been able to do. You know, and so I really have a lot of respect for that. And I'm following his model of, you know, just taking a deep breath and seeing where I can do something instead of being frozen in that anger, because you know, somebody isn't doing something the way I want them to do it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ms. Rodriguez, thank you so much for, you know, taking some time today and being on the podcast. Like I said, I want to talk to more teachers, make sure that, you know, we let the students and parents out there, let them know that, you know, they're there if they need them. And they're trying they're doing their best with the situation in hand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that they're not alone, the parents or the students, because, you know, we're all in this together.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and one other thing, I was, something that one of my students, actually a few of my students, they were, you know, and my teachers don't respond to me unless I send them a private message. And what I told the kids is, they didn't realize this, is that some of the teachers are very new to Google Classroom and they don't know that they're getting messages from the students when they're in that setting.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, and there's no ill intent. So if anybody feels that way, you know, maybe reach out in a different way, because there isn't any teacher that I know who wants to leave a student hanging without responding to them. You know, there's no malice or purposely leaving them on red or ghosting the students at all. You know, we're here for them. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Stay home, stay safe, wash your hands, and we'll see you in the next one. Peace.